There are churches and Christians around the world, particularly in Africa and Southeast Asia, and you can see right at the top here is North Korea, and then Somalia, and then the Middle East, and then it goes down to the top 50 of where Christians, it's in many of those cases that it's absolutely dangerous for them to be a Christian. They would not be able to pray over their meal in a restaurant. Churches, many of the churches, as Jamel talked about, many churches are being destroyed, are being burned, even while Christians are meeting in their churches. They are being attacked. Their businesses, their fields, their crops, they are being persecuted primarily because, and only because, they are Christians. I can't imagine that. I pray for the persecuted church. I get an email every week about different things to pray for from the Voice of the Martyrs Canada. And I can't imagine that. And in some countries, they have to be registered with the government, but then the government doesn't even want to register them. But they can only have church if they're registered. So they're in many times in a rock and a hard place. And in many countries, they can't even have a building. They just meet in houses and in parks and hidden underground. That's what it means, underground, where they cannot be seen in any way. On many of your tables, I ran out, but I get the magazine every month. There's a kids' magazine, a little kids' thing that you can take home, and any of these magazines are on the table. Please take them home. So there's the kids one, and then there's Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and I would encourage you to subscribe to this. It's free, and you can just get on their website and just sign up, and they'll send it to you and all the information. I want to highlight that today, International Day, I've talked about the persecuted church over the last year. I do that often, but this morning I want us to focus on persecution, something that we struggle to actually understand. And that's not a guilt thing, we're just not there. But that gives us then the freedom to look ahead and to look around the world and to pray for Christians. And it appears in all that I'm reading and all that I'm hearing about is that it's ramping up and getting worse, that more and more Christians are actually being killed for their faith. So I want to take us to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. The same thing happened in Iconium. What happened at the end of chapter 13, then the Jews stirred up the influence of religious women and leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. The mobs that happened against the persecuted church. The different religions in India and all of that, the Hindus and the Muslims, are all ganging up and going against the Christians. Even though the countries say there is religious freedom, there isn't. And many of these other religions are going against, and in mobs, they incite against these churches and against the Christians. Exactly what was happening with Paul and Barnabas. So, Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went on to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, chapter 14. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. Do you see what happens? They come with a great message, a message of life, a message of hope and peace and joy, the message of Jesus Christ. And a group of people, it's again the mob mentality, a group of people spurn it, and then they poison the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, about a year and a half, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord, and the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. So they proved it. It wasn't just a message, but they did a lot of healings and a lot of help with all the people there. Verse 4. But the people of the town were divided. Divided. That word divided means they were either for or against. It wasn't just, whatever, I'll move on. No, it was divided. It was either for or against. It was divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews, and some sided with the apostles. You can see the division there. Then a mob, again, a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia and to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area, and there they preached the good news. Paul and Barnabas took the heat off the Christians in Iconium, left, and the Christians continued to grow and continued to build their church, continued to meet. Do you see what's happening? Do you see the words, mainly? I'm missing that part here. Yep. Spurned, poisoned, divided, attack, stoned, all of that was happening to these Christians, which is what happens in all the Christians in a lot of these countries, the Middle East, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, China, all of Southeast Asia, Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa is right across that northern, especially that northern area of Africa. That's what's happening to all the churches. And we'll hear different reports. It's crazy. But that's what's happening. They're spurned, they're poisoned against them, they're divided, they attack, and they kill. What about the trials of the persecuted church? Can we imagine? No. No, we can't. It's hard to. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. James is writing, and even at that time there was persecution. They understood. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come of any kind, come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. Really? He says, it's great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I want you to look at these words, trouble, trial, and temptations. Those are all the same original word. It's one word, and it means those three things. And I thought about those words. Troubles, trials, temptations. And as I think about people here at James' time, and I think about the persecuted church, those that are in prison, those that are being tortured, those who had their house destroyed, those that had to flee their area, those that have lost family and family that have been killed, lost their business, all that time. What's one of the temptations that's at the very heart of what's going on with them as Christians? It would be the temptation to give up on their faith. Many of them in prison are tortured to give up their faith. Many of them are forced to turn, if they became a Christian out of the Muslim faith or became a Christian out of the Hindu faith, and there's a lot of laws that talk about you can't be converted from one faith to another. That's one of the laws and rules in many of these countries. And they move from one faith to the Christian faith and believe in Jesus. They're trying to be coerced back into it. They're being threatened. And the temptation in the troubles and trials that go through, the temptation is to give up their Christian faith and go back to the faith they had. That's the thing. Now, wouldn't you and I often wonder, at what point would I be able to resist any kind of temptation of giving up my faith? If they put enough heat on me, would I be able to stand up? I hope so. I really hope so. And then he talks about, in these words, he talks about endurance and perseverance and patient endurance. Jesus talks about these struggles, these trials that build up your faith, that build it up so you can endure. Any problems that we have, if we work through it, we can handle the next one. If we just, it's like running, it's like doing weight training, it's like anything that would help you endure to do more. That's why I encourage us as a church, how we need to grow our faith, how we need to be in the Word, because if we're not growing, we will not last. And Jesus had said, in the end, will I find faith on the earth? I'll say it again. You know what happened in COVID? Many people lost their faith. There are many people that walked away from the church. There are many people that walked away from anything because they didn't have the endurance and the strength to stay. And if that's all it takes for people to give up on their faith, what happens? And you've heard this, where the Chinese Christians have been praying for us, that we would keep going. What is the thing or the things that would actually cause us to give up our faith? What trials, what troubles that would help us give up our faith? It would encourage us to give up our faith. What trials? We've all been there. We've gone through that where we're struggling through things going, where's God? He is near. He didn't answer that prayer. He didn't help me. Where was he? Where was he? And the persecuted Christians are saying the same thing. Where's God? Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 10, it's part of the Beatitudes. Jesus says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. For the kingdom of God is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie against you. That's one of the things that happens in a lot of these countries. Christians are lied against. I heard him blaspheme against Allah. I heard him blaspheme against our faith. I heard him blaspheme. It's all lies. That's what they use. Just what they did with Jesus when he was crucified. I heard him say. The same strategy. And lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Jesus isn't asking any of the Christians in those persecuted countries, and he isn't asking any of us to do anything that he hasn't already done. You realize that? He already was persecuted. He went through one of the cruelest deaths. He did all of that, and he showed us how to go there. He showed these persecuted Christians how to keep going. And that's why we're encouraged to pray that the Holy Spirit will continue, and He wants to, will continue to help and encourage the persecuted Christians around the world. How is He blessed? He says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you with all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. I had us go through the Apostles' Creed so that we would, in, at least in our mind, understand this is our faith. But our faith has to move from here to here, or it will not withstand persecution. If our faith does not move from our head to our mind, we will not last. And any problem that comes against us, and any problem that comes against the worldwide Christians that are under persecution, we will buckle. And I pray, and I challenge, and I encourage us that we would grab a hold of our faith, because if we don't, we will lose it. And please, let's not depend on one prayer that we prayed many years ago as a child to get us into heaven. It's not what the Bible teaches. Those who, and Jesus said it many times, those who endure to the end will be saved. Those are His words, not a preacher's words. Those who endure to the end will be saved. So we're going to pray. Right now. So, next slide, third wave should be there, I think, yeah. I want us to take a moment to imagine what it would be like if you're in your home in the middle of India, middle of Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, Nigeria, Indonesia. To hear a knock on your door and know that there's police on the other side, or there's government officials. So let's close our eyes. I think this would be a good time to pray for yourself quietly. Jesus, I need your courage and I need your strength. I need faith right now. Because there would be that moment, I'm sure, that the persecuted Christians feel, I don't know if I can go through this. I don't know if I have enough strength. And that's where God asks us as churches around the world to pray for our brothers and sisters. So then quietly, I invite you to pray. As you can imagine, other Christians that are at their door too, that are meeting in their church, and all of a sudden the mobs are gathering around. Pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. Okay. Why don't you share around your tables now? What do it feel like? What are your thoughts? What do it feel like to be persecuted? What are you thinking about the church persecuted? Share a little bit around the table, and then one or two of you to lead out and pray for the persecuted church. Dwight, you can put on the slide. United in prayer. So share and pray together.